What's up, folks? This is a repeat edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. You can follow me on the Twitterverse. I'm at the Who Trans Superman. That's HUUTRN Superman. My anniversary came up. Thank you for people who are tagging me. Who do you think you are? I am. That was the anniversary of this week, Pete Weber. So you can follow me on the Twitterverse or at Jazz High Notes number 2. That's at Jazz High Notes number 2. We are here, as always. He goes to Distance 49. He was in Salt Lake checking out the Utes today. What's up, Jared Barker?
I'm good, man. How are you?
You know, hanging out, just busy week. We're just trying to get some get some jazz stuff. We're recording on a Thursday, not a Wednesday. Got a lot of things going on. But you know what? It's okay. You know, we're missing the Dragon Swatch this week, but we're bringing on. He highlights the highlighters. The highlighter highlights. He writes for the Hive Network. What's up, Alma Bean? Alma Bean 23.
Howdy. Just trying to make sure the right side of my body can go ahead and be functional for tomorrow. So we're relaxing as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, Alma's been busy at work. He's gotten promotion at one job. He's working hard at another job, trying to get another promotion. Just burning the candle at both ends. I mean, it's good to rest, though. It's good to rest, as I say.
Oh, he's got two jobs and the internship, or
the internship is a paid internship. So he's technically he's a paid employee.
That's good to know.
So
yeah, money all around.
Yes, so money.
Can't be too upset with all the money.
And if you guys,
baby.
I tell him to quit his job, and the best way to make money is to do sports online betting, Alma, and you can do that with Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and with all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you to the BELIEVE Network for having us on their network. Hitting the High Notes, proud members of the BELIEVE Network. So, Alma, you know, since you haven't taken my advice to, spend all your life savings making bets online. You're still working two jobs. We're talking about the Jazz. The Jazz played tonight. You and Jared just told me before the podcast here, didn't watch the Jazz Magic game. Pretty good game until the end. Jazz is doing the Jazz stuff. I'll give you a rundown. The Jazz decided to play Jordan Clarkson. It's very the weirdest rotation ever. Jordan Clarkson comes in middle of the third quarter and doesn't sit at all.
And I also heard that Colin Sexton, like, he was on a pretty nice run tonight, and then they just pulled him.
Yeah, I mean, it happens here's the thing. Like, I think Sexton, objectively, in my eyes, is better than Jordan Clarkson. I think Keontae George, maybe not better, but I think better suited for this team, for the Jazz, should be getting minutes. I think Chris Dunn's defense is needed in the clutch a lot, and he's not. Jordan Clarkson's playing ahead of all three of these guys. It's very crazy. Jordan Clarkson one time in like December got pulled from the fourth quarter, made a big fuss about it on the bench. The Jazz ended up winning that game, and Jordan Clarkson hasn't sat a fourth quarter since. And I don't know. The Jazz are on three paths, or at least have a couple of masters they're trying to serve. Right? Like they're
how long?
Go ahead.
How long ago was that game?
The Clarkson game? I don't know. It felt like it was months ago. Like it happened right before the Jazz, like right in the middle of the Jazz's great run, or like the beginning of the Jazz's good run. Like they pulled Jordan Clarkson.
Are you talking about the triple double game?
What was that?
Are you talking about the triple double game?
No. There was a game where Jordan Clarkson was playing Jordan Clarkson. He was just playing like shit, and he got pulled in the fourth quarter. Rightfully so.
That was right before Christmas, if I remember right, because then he started complaining more that he was getting his time, and then he got the triple-double like two or three games after that.
Yeah.
And what I think the Mr. Who of Trans is trying to say, he said something about essentially he hates Jordan Clarkson with such a fury that he needs to let it know on every episode of the show. I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of par for the course. It's, my stance hasn't changed that much on Jordan Clarkson.
No,
in his tenure from in Utah, but now it's just mind-boggling because look, you know, the Jazz are they have a couple matches they're trying to serve. They're trying to win games still. Like that's not like you can see it today. Like they it was 5 minutes left. Lauri Markkanen gets a dunk. The game's tied at 99. They're trying to win these games. You know, they're not putting anybody out with phantom injuries this year. So they're still trying to win games. But they're also trying to, you know, do a youth movement. You know, they're trying to get Bryce Sensabaugh playing time. They're trying to get Taylor Hendricks playing time. They're trying to get Keontae George playing time. Can you do both the things at one time and win? Sure. It's harder. But, yeah, you can do that. Jordan Clarkson doesn't fit in either of those paths. Playing Jordan Clarkson in the fourth quarter is not helping you win games. It hasn't helped them win games a lot this year. There's a lot of games where Jordan Clarkson feels like they've maybe not cost the Jazz, but he definitely was not part of the solution to win games. Well,
I think to your point, and to be fair to your position, because frankly, Jordan Clarkson, besides the triple-double game and maybe like a month and a half of good play, he's had questionable output for a large portion of the year. And you start wondering, does he fit better on a good team for 15 minutes off the bench than he does for us as a starter? And you kind of start telling yourself, well, that's kind of what he did for us before, right? And that's what he excelled at, that run and gun, you know, when he's off the bench for the scoring punch, a la Alec Burke.
Here's the thing. Like, right now he's not any of that. He's playing 35 minutes a game.
Which is the problem. He's probably he's a veteran. Things are slowing down for him, you know, aging, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He probably just needs to fit in that bench role again on a good team for like 20 minutes a night. But it's like you're saying, we're playing 35 minutes a night.
It just doesn't make any sense. Then the reason I keep bringing it up because I'm so confused. And like, there's fans, on, you know, we're all just very confused. Like, why is he playing so many minutes? Right. You know, like I haven't seen him sit a fourth. I can't remember the last time that I've seen Jordan Clarkson sit a fourth quarter minute.
Right.
It's been a long time. Like, and so now all of a sudden you're trying to fit, you know, Colin Sexton minutes in there as well.
Way you're describing it, it makes it feel like the team is kind of stuck in a position with Clarkson on the team, because it's like you're holding on to all the nostalgia and the winning and the metamorphosis of a guy and seeing the metamorphosis of a guy. Yeah, there are people, that's what people are holding on to. Like, I think we're kind of talking about two segments of the fan base. You've got the folks who love Jordan Clarkson, mm-hmm. love how he has really kind of embraced Utah and whatnot, and just they gravitate towards him, and it's an emotional thing for them. Okay. Like, if you watch his play on the court, and you watch him consistently night in, night out, and you watch his play, you'd say the performance doesn't warrant the love you have. If you're primarily someone who wants to win games, and his current performance is not really pushing you to winning games. So I feel like I'm dancing around. Just saying that Jordan Clarkson doesn't fit here anymore. He's at a stage in his career, and the Jazz are at a stage as a team that they're not compatible.
Right.
You don't have to hate Jordan Clarkson.
No argument over here, man. Like, I've been trying to trade Jordan Clarkson for 4 or 5 years now.
I know, but the problem is, I think you need to be able to give your clarity to people. And I think I see what you're putting down now.
Here's my clarity. My clarity is, I think the Jazz are trying to win games. I think the Jazz are also trying to play their rookies more and give them the rookies more minutes. And Jordan Clarkson doesn't fit either of those plans. And it boggles my mind.
Your point makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Unless Will Hardy can come up with an explanation as to why he thinks his reason or reasons trump our reasons for how his fit.
Someone tell Andy Larson or Tony Jones to ask that in the press conference, because it's mind-boggling. But the Jazz end up losing to the Magic in a close game. It was a close game until like the last few minutes. And you know, Jordan Clarkson was just part of the problem. There's a couple other things, but it did hamper the Jazz not having Hendricks out there or Dunn in that final lineup. But so there is actually, I guess, one path that I don't know if this is the Jazz plan or not, but people have been talking about it online. Andy Larson tweeted about it, about this 2024 draft pick that the Jazz own that could convey to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, if the Jazz are planning on keeping the pick, which is, looks more and more likely by the day, I think playing Jordan Clarkson is the right move then. If the people who want to keep the pick, play Jordan Clarkson all 48 if you can then, because he's definitely helping the Jazz keep that pick in that top 10 range. Alamo, Jared, actually the three of us, this trio here, I think we did this episode probably early January, when the Jazz were hot. We were talking, the episode was called two not convey or whatever it was.
We did, yeah.
So we've talked about this, and then, you know, like, so again, brand new podcast and the Jazz Pod Co-op, go follow Jack Potting Around, at Art Takes Note and at J Potting Around.
Just to give them a little plug, I was listening to them either yesterday or today. Yep. Their last episode, episode 7, they talked a lot about who the mystery guy I guess Tony Jones was on their pod.
Yep.
And he told them about this mystery player X that he felt was between starter and star on the NBA spectrum. A move that people would not have expected to happen. Anyways, they did an episode where they talked about who they thought that guy Tony right. was keeping secret was.
They also talked about conveying the pick and they're brand new. So give them a follow, yeah. Give them a listen. They're the best jazz podcast on the market. So take that, David Locke. All right. So so January 4th we did this episode to convey or not convey. This is like very early in Alma's tenure of, you know, coming in and hosting with us.
Well, I don't mean to take over because I feel like we're not giving Alma his due to kind of add his piece in too. So I apologize for the rambling tonight. It's just I'm in a rambling mode.
He's a rambling man. No, Alma will get the chance here because we're talking about, you know, we've already talked about like whether we want to convey or not convey the pick. Alma, your position at January 4th, basically 2 months ago, your position was you wanted the Jazz to convey the pick to Oklahoma City this year. Jared, I believe you also did your team convey. Are you still team convey, Jared?
At this point, I've kind of dropped off of team convey, and I'm in team apathy about the conveying or not conveying.
That's fair.
So I'm just like, it's like whatever happens. I've kind of like lost my position on there, so I just decided I'll take whatever.
Okay, so Alma, are January 4th till now? You know, have you changed your position to convey or not to convey?
So I believe when we did that episode, I was definitely pro convey, but then as time went along and the Jazz got off of their hot streak, and we've like slightly addressed it since then, we went ahead and were just. Trying to figure out what's the actual way that the team is going to go ahead and move forward. And that's where my stance kind of changed to whatever they need to do to go ahead and like move forward with the story that they're doing, then that's what I'm going to go ahead and go along with. So if they're going to go ahead and, you know, play the way they're playing right now, then I don't see them conveying that pick by any means. I just hope that they go ahead and do it in the best possible fashion and over and end up with, say, the 11th pick after doing badly, and then you're just kind of stuck in the middle doing nothing but still giving away this pick. When now that I'm actually like starting to do a little bit more research on this draft class, there are some guys that are starting to pop out.
Welcome to me, but Jared, it's been 2 months. Welcome to my land. Welcome to the, you know, whatever happens, you know, like apathy, whatever you want to call it, letting where the chips fall as they may. Again,
you feels know, good, man.
You
feels
guys,
good.
You guys, you guys, like, you guys know that I try to
just let it go.
I do try to be the not too high, not too low guy, right?
My only thing is that now that I'm like, okay, now that they might actually keep the pick, I have to give myself more work because now I actually have to look at the draft class a little bit deeper and like actually see like who do I like in this draft class, who do I want the team to avoid, So, like, to be honest, I would have been much happier with Team Convey because
it would save me time. Time saver.
It would save me time, and then at the same time, it's like, I don't like this draft class to start, so now I'm having to convince myself, okay.
Well, what I'm hearing more about this class is there's no super high top-end talent. So, like, your first five aren't going to you guys.
Weber State legend, so Dylan Jones is going to be going to be a top five pick. So, okay.
Well,
so,
with the performance that Dylan Jones had today, what 30 points,
23 rebounds, nine assists. So,
in a with 10 game. NBA scouts there, including the scout for Utah Jazz. So, it depends on where he falls. Because, I mean, if you look at those teams,
what position, what size are you looking for him?
He's probably a shooting.
He'd probably be a three or a four.
I don't know a four. He's a 6'6 guy. I don't think he's four.
He'd be a small ball four, especially with how Weber State uses him.
Yeah, I mean, I would not. I mean,
he has a decent.
So we got another guy who plays locally blowing up. That's cool.
Yes, he's Weber State's own Dylan Jones, Dylan Jones. Okay. Anyway, that's this again goes down to we don't always know what draft classes are going to be, and you know, this happens every year. Like. The draft class is horrible, at the beginning of the year. Then we get closer to the draft season. People are like, well, they talked themselves into it. So I don't know if it's good or bad. It is. And I personally, I don't care. All these are chips. Sometimes, even in bad drafts, people pop, right? Kawhi Leonard was in a bad draft.
You can't have chips without salsa.
So, you gotta be able to, give yourself chances at getting guys. Andy Larson put a poll out. I believe it was 50-50 to convey and not convey the pick. I still think, I think Andy's position that he thinks it's still better for the Jazz to convey. I don't know if he has a position actually, never mind. But, a month and a half ago, we gave the arguments that maybe the Jazz should convey the pick. What was one of the bigger reasons that you thought, Alma, that the Jazz should convey the picks to the Thunder?
Just so then it's like an out of sight, out of mind type of thing. Because I mean, this draft class is already not looking weak. It's already looking like 2025 is going to be a very hot draft. Even 2026 already has some lingering players to where people are like, oh yes, you want to go ahead and. Prepare yourself for 2026. So,
which year is the Boozer Twins?
I believe they are 25.
Oh,
okay.
So that's like also the same year as Cooper Flagg as well.
So after Cooper Flagg and whatnot. Okay.
Yeah. Let's pretend that Jazz are not getting Cooper Flagg. Put that out of our mind, folks.
I mean, let's ourselves of that notion because that's definitely not.
But here's the thing: even if the Jazz conveyed the pick this year and Cooper Flagg was in play for the Jazz, that doesn't affect next year's pick. Like, if the Jazz are going to be good enough to get Cooper Flagg, they're still going to get that pick next year. Let's break it down.
Conveying that pick now, you don't have to worry about 2025. That's looking like a better draft class. Or 2026.
Well, I mean, we're talking about...
For us, 2025 is still top 8 protected.
Top 10 protected.
2026 is top 8. Yeah,
Hold on a second. Let's go back real quick. So let's go back to Cooper Flagg, right? So people are like, oh, well, Cooper Flagg's in that draft. If the Jazz are bad enough to get Cooper Flagg in that draft, then the Jazz end up with the number one pick. That's still their pick, all right? So it's top 10 protected, like we just said. So, I think people are in their mind that they give up this year's pick, the 2024 pick, that 2025 is going to be gone. Like, no, we talked about this. That means the Jazz would have to be bad again. It's not ideal. Nobody wants to be bad for this long, but I think the Jazz have kind of made their bed. Like, this is going to be a long rebuild.
Yeah, and it kind of happens in the situation they're in. Yeah
they've made their bed to be bad.
You got holes on your roster. So it's just,
And, I mean, not just holes. They're not trying to pick guys that are going to help them just barely make the play-in. Their plan is
They're not settling on the guy that's probably going to have the lower ceiling.
Like
they're going for the high ceiling guys.
Going to the to again back to the jackpotting pod that you're talking about, guys that the Jazz could have been buyers on, and there was names that, you know, to me were, I would say, underwhelming. Some of the guys that they were saying, like, oh, it might have been like Marcus Smart. It might have been guys like, who else did they say? Gordon Hayward. It could have been, it wasn't like
Trey. Back to Jack Cotton around.
Trey Young level. So the guys that the Jazz might have bought in, it would have made him better this year, but would have made him better in, you know, enough to win a championship in the next 3 or 4 years. And I don't think so. So, the Jazz aren't buying unless they're going to get somebody that they think is going to, they can pair with Lowry and Keontae, and make a run at it. So, anyway, the Jazz, you know, if they keep the pick this year, that pick is still protected the next 2 years. And the Jazz might be bad again next year. And the Jazz, you know, Jack Potting around again, you know, going back to their pod, or maybe on their Twitter, they said something like, is a top 10 pick better? And Alma thought this a month and a half ago, that whoever was going to be there at 18 next year, and also Gets It, let's shout out to Gets It. Gets It also thinks this too, I've seen on his Twitter. Whoever's going to be available at 18 next year is going to be better at whoever's at 9 this year. And Alma, you said you've been doing a little more research. Do you still feel that way? Do you still feel like the guys that are in the late teens are going to be just so much better than the guys in the top 10 in this draft?
For this upcoming draft, I mean, granted, you're always going to have better talent at the top of the poll, but like, when you're having essentially role players being drafted at, say, 1 through 5, I think you're going to be getting a better value in those late teens, but you're going to be pretty much having the same talent pool across the board. So why not save yourself a little bit of money, have yourself a lower draft pick, and get a player that's going to perform exactly the same as a top 5 pick?
I mean, it's unlikely the Jazz are going to get a top 5 pick this year.
But I'm saying, like, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, if the Jazz are going to go ahead and start losing, so then you get a better pick.
I mean,
but with how this draft class is looking,
it seems unlikely.
Like, it's not going to be any different from drafting somebody at, say, 4 or 5 than, say, 11, 12, 13. Those guys, in my opinion, are probably all going to perform the same, outside of maybe like a Matas Buzelius or something.
I'm sorry. Maybe I said the question wrong. Having the, you know, a late teen pick in 2025 versus a top 9 pick in 2024.
I thought you were saying all 2024.
No, like, sorry. It's going to be I think a lot of people have this notion that 2025 is just so much better in terms of draft prospects that, say the Jazz next year, give it the pick. But again, it's top 10 predicted. So it's probably going to be somewhere between 11 and whatever, because there's some other, you know, it's the Jazz pick, right? So after 11, I think, yeah, it's just after 11. And I can't remember. So are there the pickups are in 2026, but not 2025, right? So if the Jazz get a pick in the top 10, they still keep it. Is that right? Am I that the pick that the Jazz would give up is going to be past 10 regardless, right?
Yes.
Okay, because let's say the Cavs pick was in the top 8, the Jazz would keep that pick. So, So losing a top 10 pick in 2025 is not on the table for the Jazz. They might lose the 11th pick or the 18th pick or the 15th pick, but we're all equating that. Okay, now the guy in 2015, at pick 15 is going to be just worlds better than the guy at number 10 or number 9 in the 2024 pick. What are your opinions on that, Alma?
So, like, if you go ahead and take a look at the bottom end of what's projected to be the 2025 draft class, there's already guys that I personally recognize because I'm a monster and pay attention to college basketball enough, and even high school basketball, like, nationwide. So, like, even a guy who's projected the 30th pick in next year's draft, 2025, Tyrese Proctor from Duke, I would take him over some of these guys that are going to be coming in for the 2024 portion that the Jazz would go ahead and be interested in. Like, let's say, like, a Stephon Castle or Jacoby Walter.
yes, they are very talented guys. That if the Jazz keep on losing and they keep their pick, that's probably the range they're going to be looking at. I would much rather have a Tyrese Proctor, who is going to be one of the last picks next year, over these type of guys. So that's where I'm like, why not save your team the money, convey that pick? You're already going to get a late first round pick, which the talent is exactly the same, in my opinion, across the first round. So just save yourself the money, and then you're going to go ahead and get lesser of a contract, so you're not as committed to that player. That, like, it's just more of a business thing for me rather than like a talent thing. Like, you're just making a better business decision, which, as far as I'm aware, Danny Ainge likes to do more business-related deals than, you know, playing favorites, unless you're looking at Jordan Clarkson. But I don't think that's a Danny Ainge thing.
Yeah, so, I don't think that's a Danny Ainge deal.
And that's and that's fair. I get it. But, you know, people are just like, you know, they're thinking that they're giving up, you know, multi-team All-Stars at 15 in 2025. And then at 2019, these guys are going to – or sorry, at 2024 at – pick nine, these guys are like going to be out of the league.
The only guys that are like in that like teens range that are like currently projected around there that I would maybe toy around with and be like, okay, they might be good once they get to the NBA, it would be like Kyle Filipowski, Isaiah Collier. I think he needs some time to transition the NBA. I think Tyler Smith, he'll probably be fine with the transition, but I don't see him making that.
I think Kyle Filipowski's career is over.
Yeah, but that's just like your opinion, man.
And then even Johnny Furpe as well. Like these guys, I think that when they get into the league, they're going to have a decent amount of hype in that team's range. But just like a lot of the guys who were in that range this year as well, they needed time in the G League, and a lot of people lost hope for them outside of, like, let's say, Keontae George or Jaime Jasquez or Cam Whitmore. Yep. Like those were really like the only guys that went ahead and made that jump. And then Brandon, I can't think of his last name right now, on Golden State. Those were the guys, but those were the guys who made that jump who weren't expected to make that jump. But names that I mentioned for this year's draft, like those are the only guys that I could see where fans would be like, oh, I can't believe we missed out on those guys. But I also think that it's going to take them a decent amount of time to actually acclimate to the NBA speed. And to be honest, they'll probably spend a decent amount of time in the G League because they're just not going to be used to the speed of the game.
You're
talking about, when you say Brandon, you were talking about Podbonds?
Yes.
Podbonds is just the nickname they use over there.
I was like, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
It's like Podmensky or something.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, and this is the same point I had back in, we don't know, I mean, we're getting closer, and again, we're talking ourselves in the 2014 draft, but 2024 draft, but like, we're making a lot of assumptions that, again, guys that are in the late teens are just going to be so much better than the guys in the early to late, I guess, what, aughts, the 9-10 pick in this year's draft. And maybe there might be a talent gap, but I don't know how massive it is, I guess. We're making it to be a Grand Canyon-sized gap, and it might not be.
To be honest, until I'm proven wrong, I think I'm going to die on that hill.
And that's fine.
I'm like forcing myself to like look at some of these guys, and I'm just like, okay, they will be good for where they're drafted and the class that they are in. They will be deemed good.
And that's
having to convince myself of that.
And that's the pro for conveying it. And, you know, it happens. Like you have a weak draft class every once in a while. Doesn't mean there's like not stars in the draft somewhere. It may not be at the top. You might find them at 10 or 15 or 20. You might find a diamond. There's more chances of finding diamonds in the rough, I guess. So that's a pro for, you know, trying to keep your 2024 pick more bites at the apple.
But then that's like a high risk, high reward type of thing. Like, I mean, you could go ahead and end up with that, say, diamond in the rough, like Giannis Antetokounmpo, where you got him at, what, 12?
15,
and,
I believe.
You know, he even further down, where you got him so low, and then he became the talent that he is now. I thought he was at 12, but I could be wrong.
Let me, 15. But, in 2013, 12 was Steven Adams, 13 was Kelly Olynyk, 14 was Shabazz Muhammad,
15 was in our range. Giannis. He was in our range. Twice.
But, like, he was in that teen range. There was a lot of questions on, like, whether or not he could make that transition.
Right.
Building muscle mass. Have guys
that's
like Anthony Bennett.
That's the Trey Burke's draft, right?
That is Trey Burke's draft, correct. Rudy Gobert and Trey Burke.
But then you have guys like Cleveland when they took Anthony Bennett.
Right, same year.
Thought that he was going to be saving grace.
Right.
And he was out of the league in
we're getting a little off track, but I remember that year, and I remember Anthony Bennett was that was a late day surprise going up the board, and because that was the year I believe that there was much like this year, much like 2024, not a consensus number one. I think Victor Oladipo was, you know, from Indiana was sort of the guy there. I mean, that top five was really bad. I mean, when you got Anthony Bennett out of UNLV. Freshman, like he, very late. I believe Cleveland was trying to get rid of that pick tried really hard to get rid of that pick and couldn't find anybody to take it. I think Norman Noel, who went number six, was in line for being number one pick that year too. Number two was Victor Oladipo. Three was Otto Porter Jr. The Trey Burke pick. I mean, CJ McCollum's like the best player in the top 10 there, but and he went at number 10. But I guess, you know, so that there is a danger if the Jazz don't convey the pick that, you know, the 2015 pick in the 18, 15, 12, 11 range is going to be way better than the pick this year. I don't know if it might be better. I don't know if it's gonna be way better. Okay. So, we're still talking about, you know, other reasons that the Jazz should or should not convey the pick. Because again, the Jazz have just gone so cold since the trade deadline, you know, have ruined any consistency they had. It looks like they're going to be able to keep the pick this year. And, you know, some people, you know, half the Jazz fans don't like that. What's another reason that I've seen, guys is, it hampers, the Jazz's ability to make trades. Alma, do you want to kind of, embellish on that?
So if they don't convey that pick, that means that they really can't trade their own pick in 2025, 2026, whatever. Like, they're held to not being able to give up that asset, where if they go ahead and convey their pick this year, that gives them more flexibility in any sort of trade talks that they may have going forward. So that's where I'm still leaning more towards the convey side, because Danny Ainge is going to want to do what's best for the team as a business. And if you are going to go ahead and just hunker down and actually make use of these picks, then you are limiting yourself on what you can go ahead and do on the business side. So,
And so
I think that the team should go ahead and lean into that, so then they can go ahead and open up more doors and more opportunities for the team to either expand and maybe get more, I don't even want to say like talent, but I want to say like more role players to go ahead and build out the bench side of their rosters, and they can go ahead and focus on their stars, like say Lauri Markkanen. So then they can go ahead and know who their starters are going to go ahead and be, how they can build around them, and then go ahead and have a supportive cast beneath them by using those draft assets, which the only way you can do that is by conveying, because then you know exactly what you can go ahead and offer. If you don't, it's kind of just up in the air, and you're like, you can call back during the off season, and maybe we can figure out a different deal once we know what we actually can give you.
And that's fair,
right? Like, or they could try to throw a free agent contract at somebody who's restricted, like Moses Moody on the Warriors.
Right.
Yes, I know. Oh my gosh, she's still alive and well.
But like going back to like the trading part of this for the conveying the pick, right? Like what you said is all well and good, but this is sort of a unique situation for the Jazz, because you know if the Jazz only have their own picks, this would be a problem. You know, I think Portland felt this problem when they traded a protected pick to the Bulls. But the pick has so many protections on it that it kept staying with the Blazers, and the Blazers weren't able to trade any more future picks because they had that one Chicago. But the Jazz have their own picks. They have the next three Cavaliers picks. They have the next three, you know, with light protections, Wolves pick. They have the Lakers pick. They have this year they have the Thunder pick. They have a high second round pick. They have other options. So when people talk about, you know, like, okay, you know, we need more the Jazz need more flexibility in trading their own picks, they have other picks to choose from. The further down the line that we get with these years, those picks become muddy. Like, we don't know what the Jazz are going to look like in 26 or 27 or 28. We don't know what the Wolves and the Cavs. That's why, these teams are a little wary about trading picks that are four or five years down the line, because it might be, if it's unprotected, it might be the number two pick in the draft. We're talking about, the Jazz not, having their hands aren't tied. Their hands are, they're a little they're banded a little bit, but there's other picks that the Jazz can do. Other moves that they could make, like, okay, well, we can't trade our pick. The Jazz can't trade their own pick, but they have, literally like 10 other picks they can choose, first round picks they can choose from. So,
but it's been mentioned multiple times from the beat writers that the team wants to go ahead and have the draft capital and financial flexibility. Mm-hmm. So, if by conveying that pick, that would go ahead and maximize the draft capital that they have access to and their financial flexibility as far as
I agree, it would maximize it, but it's not like the Jazz aren't operating at 90% of that capacity anyway. It's one of the smaller things that, like, if the Jazz wanted to trade some of those picks away, I don't think that one Jazz pick is going to, because I don't think the Jazz are trading one pick for a player. I think the Jazz are making multiple draft picks. Like, if the Jazz are doing the disgruntled star route, I think they're probably gonna have to give up half those picks anyway. So I just don't see where one draft pick that's a little tied up is going to hurt the Jazz that much. So,
right now, if you look at that pick, it's containing three draft picks right now. If it's not conveyed, it's the 2024, 25, and 26 that the Jazz cannot move whatsoever until they have conveyed their pick or that whole deal has completely dissolved. But if it is conveyed, now you get access to those other two picks. It's not held down by any other deal in the process.
But it's still one pick.
It's still one pick, yeah, because, like...
But I'm saying if the pick is not conveyed, now 2025 has to be available for Oklahoma City.
I get that part. But I'm saying, like, the Jazz have so many other picks anyway. Like, it's one pick.
The Jazz can't trade back-to-back picks, so it doesn't matter.
Well, no. Well, that's the thing. That's why the picks held up, right? Because if the Jazz have to convey it in 2024, can't convey it in 20. That's what I'm saying, is that because of the steeping rule, the Jazz, that Jazz pick is held up till 26. But there are so many other options, I think, that it's hard for me to say that one Jazz pick is going to hold up.
There's so much flexibility and fluidity. Yeah.
I get that argument, but again, I look at him like there's so many other, like, it's hard for me to think of a deal where, like, you know, say.
It's hard for me to think that that's like just the value, just enough value for the other team to go, oh yeah, we're giving you Giannis. I don't get it.
Yeah. We're trying to break it down because people are, I hear that argument a lot. Like, the Jazz need the flexibility.
Unless Giannis came out and publicly said, I want to be traded.
It's not even Giannis. It's like, because Giannis is not even on the board right now, right?
But I'm just throwing out a untouchable name.
But it's more of like the Jazz, we're saying the Jazz will not have any flexibility, or like the Jazz, having the one pick that they can't trade, they have a lot of other picks that I believe are available that, if you can't slot that Lakers 2027 pick instead of a Jazz pick, then why do you even have it, I guess. I think at some point, you know, all the picks are going to be valued as picks, as assets. And, you know, the Jazz not having control of their own pick till 2026, it just doesn't seem like that big a deal. They have, you know, unprotected Cavaliers picks. They have unprotected Timberwolves picks. They have a top four protected Lakers pick. They can trade their own 2028 pick. So it does bind the Jazz flexibility a little bit, but they're still operating at, I believe, 90% of capacity.
But even with all those other picks that they do have,
yep,
their own pick, they know exactly what will happen with it. Like, mm-hmm, how they perform on the court, they know exactly where it's going to go ahead and end up, as whether it's a lottery pick,
right,
after that, what have you. But with those other picks,
right,
you're taking the risk, and maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, but when you're trading it, you don't know. You're just hoping that the other team does bad enough for you to go ahead and get a decent pick. Mm-hmm. And long-term, if you're trading it out far enough, you're going to go ahead and wonder, was that pick worth it? Like, it's the whole,
if the
Chet Holmgren.
I mean, you're making the argument of, like, the Jazz can control their own destiny with those picks, but if they're trading it, that doesn't matter. Because if they're going to keep that pick,
it's a matter of getting the value out of it. Like, mm-hmm, they know what the value will be of their own picks based off of their performance. They cannot control the value of those other picks based off of another team's performance.
Right, but
we know,
but if they're
Minnesota
trading it,
and Cleveland can go ahead and be playoff teams.
No, all the way out. I get that. So why does it matter if the Jazz are trying to? If the Jazz are saying that we want to control that their own pick, it doesn't matter in a trade then, because they're not going to trade a pick that they're
their own pick. They'll be able to go ahead and make the value of it higher if they really want to. Granted, they can't say that publicly.
Right, but
the
worse
they perform, the higher value of that draft pick.
Right.
Minnesota is probably going to be bottom 20s, maybe 30.
Are they going to
probably going to be that range?
Right. But are they going to? I mean, so we're talking about.
So in a trade, that's going to go ahead and be more valuable if you're going to
in that year. Because if the Jazz are going to make that pick more valuable, it will only affect the year that they're going to trade it. It'll only affect them this year, 2024. Next year, if they wanted to make that trade, quote unquote, more valuable, they would lose, and that would. I get what you're saying, that they can make the trade that pick more valuable by sucking, or tanking, but why would the Jazz do that and then trade the pick away? And that only affects them in the year that they're trading it. They could do that next year anyway. Make their.
Well, that's why I'm trying to say, like, this year I'd much rather than convey. So then it is their pick to go ahead and make the decision, where if they don't convey the pick this year, they have to have that on their mindset for 2025. If that doesn't convey, then it has to go on to 2026. It's just a lingering wait that's unnecessary.
See, and I guess I don't know. Maybe you and I are just different opinions. I don't think it matters. Like, you say lingering wait, I'm like, yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a little bit, but I just...
Like, unless you think that the Jazz are really going to be that bad for that long, and saying that they are going to still be within that top eight range, then by all means, keep your pick, because then it just dissolves and I think it's just a cash buyout or something.
I mean, then...
If you think that the team can go ahead and do that, by all means, keep your pick.
I mean, there's a real argument that could happen.
But I genuinely don't think, as long as Lauri Markkanen is on this team, I don't think that there is a way for them to go ahead and convince fans that that is going to be a route that they can go ahead and do consistently and keep a majority of these faces on that team.
I mean, I think there's also a legitimate chance that a lot of the players that are playing on the Jazz in 2024, half of them won't be here in 2 years. I think that's a legit argument as well. Like, Lauri Markkanen, I will say right now publicly, February 29th, leap year, 2024, that I think Lauri Markkanen will be on a max contract, max extension on the Jazz team in 2025. I do not know if Lauri Markkanen will be on this team after the trade deadline in 2025 or 2026. That is my prediction. That could happen. Again, it's just one of those things that if this is a long-term build for the Jazz, Lauri Markkanen may or may not be part of that rebuild. You know, and you know, a lot of Jazz fans have already turned off. Marnay has stopped listening. But I think there's a legit argument to be made that that could happen. Because this is a long rebuild, and you know, if the Jazz thought Lauri Markkanen is the number one that they can build around, then they have to make a move in the next 2 years to do it, regardless. If they don't, then it's, you know, we're talking about, you know, like NBA purgatory all the time, right? The Jazz are sort of in that area because partly because of Lauri Markkanen's great play. So, you know, it's not ideal rebuild for the Jazz, but this, I mean, I said this 2 years ago, you know, when they traded away Donovan and Rudy, this is going to be a long rebuild. You know, Lauri playing ended up being much better than I thought he was going to be. Colin Sexton ended up being much better than I thought he was going to be. For a little while, I'm like, okay, well, maybe the Jazz have something here. But I look at this roster, you know, here, you know, again, leap year 2024. I'm like, you know, some of these players, you know, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, one of the rookies, Walker Kessler, Lauri Markkanen, they're all in play to not be here in 2026. And, you know, I think that's just the way the Jazz are going to build. And it's, again, I said last week, until the Jazz find who their number one player is it Lauri Markkanen? Is it Keontae George? None of this is going to matter. So, yeah, so I think there's, you know, there's a legit, you know, path that, you know, I guess we sometimes think of the NBA as linear, like, okay, so they were bad this year. They will get better next year. I don't know. I mean, they could. They'll add some, you know, obviously add up to three rookie or 2 to 3 rookies in this draft class. You know, the free agency, again, they're probably bringing Lauri Markkanen back. This Jazz team could be better next year. But, I mean, look at what they're putting out there right now since the trade deadline. They've had some close games against the Warriors, but they get blown out by the Suns. They're just getting blown out by, you know, teams that you shouldn't, you know, the only team they beat is the Spurs, who beat the Thunder, so I guess the Jazz are better than the Thunder. But, yeah, I think that's going to be hard for fans, right? Like, rebuilds are not easy. You know, Logan talked about how he's like, he'd rather go back to 2 years ago with Donovan and Rudy because, like, he hates rebuilds. And rebuilds suck, but I think that's the cycle of the NBA is that at some point, you know, you got to start rebuilding. And if you try to rebuild with, you know, let's say the Jazz went and got, you know, Zach LaVine if he was healthy, you know. The Jazz were able to get Zach LaVine. They paid an okay price for him, not cheap, not expensive. That team would be better. That Jazz team would be better. But, you know, that's where I think the Jazz would get in trouble by building around guys that are not, you know, Jaylen Brown / Jason Tatum type levels. We see a lot of these NBA teams that are, you know, the Bulls. You know, the Bulls thought Zach LaVine. They you know, that guy was an all-star. He looked like they were going to lead. And for a minute, they went and got DeMar DeRozan. They traded a whole bunch of draft capital to get Nikola
Vucevic.
Thank you. I kept trying to say Jokic. Vucevic. And you know, they mortgaged everything because they thought that Zach LaVine was the number one.
Don't forget about Lonzo.
And Lonzo. Like, so they took a shot and it blew up in their face. It blew up spectacularly. It was crazy how bad it was because they built around the wrong guy. And so I think there's a, you know, I don't know if Lauri is the right guy or not. I don't know if Keontae George is the right guy or not, but if you're a front office, you know, you got to make that decision. And the way the Jazz have kind of gone through these two last trade deadline seasons kind of makes me think that I don't think that they're ready to commit to Lauri Markkanen as their guy. So that one actually went way deeper than I thought it was going to be. We're trying to talk about conveying a pick this year, guys. Is there any other arguments to make, Alma, about conveying the pick to Thunder? We talked about, you know, flexibility and trades. We've talked about the draft classes. Is there any other arguments that I can't think of any right now?
I mean, shoot, after 20 minutes of going over it. I think we've gone over
good.
A decent amount.
This episode is this episode is primarily for Logan, who couldn't be here tonight. I think he was talking to some guys online, and he was like, "I don't know what the right answer is. Someone just tell me what the right answer is." So I wanted to take a second and go back, do a redux of our episode from January and talk about it in depth and kind of give examples. And I hope we did that. So, Alma, what's new with you? What's new with the Jazz? What's new with the Hive?
Get to take a little break here now that the Jazz are on their road trip. So kind of just taking a back seat at the moment and just waiting for them to come back home. Hopefully they'll go ahead and bring back a win in some capacity, because I mean, they're going to Miami, then playing Washington. So at least hopefully they can get a win against Washington, then coming home to play the Bulls. So hopefully they'll be able to get some wins and make my job a little bit easier.
I think they're playing Washington at home, right? The Heat on the road, Washington at home, I believe. Yes. So.
Yeah, my bad.
Coming home
Washington to Washington. Washington here, yep. Chicago here.
Yep. So.
But again, it's a nice little break, but, hopefully they'll be able to go ahead and get some wins, make the rookies look a little bit better.
No.
Getting to sit back and relax. Can't complain with those things.
J-Rod, we've already burst through our time. We took a lot more time on this than I thought we were going to do, but we were going to talk about rookie development. Have you had a chance to like sit down, watch the game with the rookies in it, Hendricks, Sensabaugh, and Keontae playing extended minutes?
Yeah, I was at one of those games actually.
And how do you feel like this is one of the things that like we talked about, the G League for Sensabaugh and Hendricks, and Keontae George is your boy. So.
I think the G League helped Sensabaugh for sure, because he just seems like he's trying a lot more on defense than he did in college, and so that's nice.
Yes, Sensabaugh definitely impressed me. I was very happy to see
he's
what
running
I saw
the floor, in
those minutes he had.
Yeah, he was running the floor. He was poking. He poked the ball out loose from his guy like two different times. Like
he had some confident shots in there too. Like I was very impressed based off of what I saw, what I heard.
I want to say that was the Bucks in the game. G League.
Like I was very happy to see how he performed. Granted, I'm not going to go out there and be like, all right, he needs to go ahead and have at least 20 minutes a game. He needs to maybe be fighting for a starting position. No, he still has some fundamental things that he needs to do. But based off of what I saw and heard from earlier in the season when he was with the G League, I'm impressed.
Yeah, he was okay today in Orlando. I know you guys didn't watch the game, but he was fine. And Hendricks, everybody is kind of back on the Hendricks board. I don't know if G League was the right move for him. I mean, I'm glad he got some playing time so he wasn't just sitting cold, but,
I'm just glad the defensive chops show through immediately.
Yep.
We put him on the floor and we become a better defensive team.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, again, Hendricks is someone I'm willing to give another year as if I was the GM, because you drafted him for a specific specific reason, really. Like he has intangibles. Like he has a body, he has a length that you don't get anywhere else. So as I say, you can't teach that. So all right, Jared, anything big happen with you, Jared?
Did you say shout outs or what?
Shout outs or anything we got like 5 minutes before we have to leave here, so I was just trying to help you drive the bus, basically.
Oh, I got you. I do believe I'm following. I just wanted to kind of give a shout out to,
Dead air, we've got dead air. Filling in the silence with the song because Jer was looking something up.
They should have had that at the ready for you.
Again, shout out to Art Takes Note and Jay Potting Around. Jack Potting Around, part of the Jazz Pod Co-op. As the highlighter highlights, Alma, Alma's taking a break. He took a break from his two jobs today, rested. Am I getting the body? How are you enjoying your internship?
To be honest, I know I told you this, one-on-one, but, I'm genuinely enjoying the internship.
a lot more than I anticipated. I've done a lot more work than I expected. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, like, once Matt came back, I was like, I felt like I kind of took a back seat, and that kind of hit me for a second. But I was just like, hey, he doesn't know what I can do. I'll just wait until he needs me. So to be honest, for tomorrow, that kind of like puts me back up in that seat to being like, oh,
yeah,
we need to depend on Elma a little bit more. So that'll kind of allow me to like show him that I am capable. And I'm sure that he's now aware that I am capable to go ahead show and do me. Quite a few things.
Show me what you're capable of. Yeah. So,
but like, I felt like I kind of had to take a step back once he came back in. Cause mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many of you guys to where like,
right,
I'm just not needed as much.
It's
sort of, I know I've explained that.
So, like, so Matt is our executive producer here. He is, you know, technically my boss. You know, everything goes through him. So when he was gone, I sort of like, I was trying to step up and like, okay, cool. Like he left right when we were getting two new interns, and I was just trying to, you know, kind of, you know, as Jared knows, drive the bus metaphorically. You know, I do it differently though. I do it in a different metaphor than he does though. But I try to keep the bus on the
because I actually don't do a metaphor. I actually drive it.
And,
gotcha.
And you do drive the bus. And you know, I try to keep the train on the tracks, I guess is the metaphor I'm going to use. I was trying to keep the train on the tracks.
We do that too.
And so
we do that too.
Trains, I was you know, trying to help our interns get acclimated with everything. So it is weird having, you know, like the real boss back in back in town. Jared, did you find what you're looking for?
I gave up. I was going to tell you.
You gave
gentlemen, up. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, shout out to Dragon Squatch. I hope you know, he might be the only person that listens to this episode anyway. So I hope that he got what he needed out of it. But yeah, so yeah, go listen to Jack Potting Around. Go listen to the Twos and Threes. They're coming out semi-weekly, I think, right now. Twos and Threes are back, so that's nice. Mark and Doug, who else? Marcus. And then you know, I haven't seen Jabberjazz in a minute, so you know he might be on hiatus for a little bit. And RIP Jazzy Gals, we miss them. We miss them a lot. So. Jazz Pod Co-op, also the Believe Network, which is actually the real network we're part of, but you know, we can be part of two networks. And you can follow Alma Bean at Alma Bean 23. You can follow Jared at Go the Distance 49. You can follow his burner at Drive the Bus 49. And you can follow me at Hoop Transfer Man, that's HUTRN Superman. And we'll see you guys next time.